Tonight, on episode 146 of the Sauce Podcast, 12 straight hours of NBA playoff analysis, taking you straight into Tuesday morning. How musicians make money, a machete fight in Florida, and did Jose Salvador Alvarenga eat his shipmate? Our weekly recommendations, Tweet of the Week, Dandy's Choice, and much, much more. Sauce Pod 146 is next. Oh yeah, good evening, Sauce Pod streamers from coast to coast. It's me, Tony Sometimes, and this is episode number 146 of the Sauce Pod. Coming at you live from inside the FingerLakes1.com studios, deep beneath historic downtown Seneca Falls, New York. It's Monday, April 28th, 2014. And per usual, I'm joined up here tonight by my saucy compañeros, Saucy Joe.
Greetings and salutations.
And Dandy Aaron D.
Good evening. Oh. Right into the microphone.
And Mysterious Taco Girl.
Hello.
And as you'll see, seated to Mysterious Taco Girl's left, stage left, it's Media Stu.
Yes, hi.
Back in the studio.
Hello. Greetings. Good to be back.
Now this is, as I mentioned, episode 146. It is... After 3 years, we're going to scale it back a little bit going forward. We're going to go bi-weekly through the summer. And in the off weeks, we're going to show feature you one of the best of the Sauce Pods from 146. So, Media Stu, you might be...
I might be back in the mix.
...making a resurgence. You might get a Media Stu episode. You might get a Rudy P. ringtone episode.
Stu's in syndication.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
Can't wait till those residuals. Checks start coming.
Mm-hmm. You might get a... pre-Mysterious Taco Girl episode, but one thing
she was honestly on early in the taco competition.
That's true.
Yeah, you might get a sneak preview before she was
pretty quiet then. Though.
That was the first maybe more five episodes.
I don't think we allowed you to talk.
I don't think we had enough mics.
She didn't want to do it.
Sexist bastards.
It was a stipulation. Yeah. That's why she was mysterious. So if you
it was part of the name, but
it was a real locker room atmosphere up there in the early days.
Media Stu ate the most tacos, though. I think it was like 10.
Yeah, I can eat some tacos.
And these were like soft shells, a lot of meat, pretty hearty tacos.
Good tacos though.
I make a mean taco.
I think the beginning of the Sauce Pod was a lot of overindulgence.
Oh, yeah, it was very exciting. It was one of the first podcasts on the FingerLakes1.tv network, and it was just audio, and we didn't know what we were doing, so we would just basically let it rip. We wouldn't even have a script at all, other than maybe just a little.
I think the very beginning, Media Stu used to bring in a script.
Well, I used to bring in stories. To read
news, yeah, some news,
and Stu's news,
concert footage,
Stu's news.
Baby, you got a Stu going.
Yeah.
So, on Sunday, my daughter made her first communion, and I'm agnostic, and I have to. A lot of my family are Catholics. The whole family's Catholic, really. But and then you're sitting in the church and seeing your daughter go through this tradition, you know, and wondering how it's kind of screwing with her head. But on the other hand, I see all the other kids and families, and it's a nice tradition in a way. Every tribe of humans has their tradition. That make when you come of age, you know, in some parts of Africa, you're circumcised at a late age in a ceremony of some sort.
You gotta go out and kill an animal, become a man.
Mm-hmm. But it got me, it's something I struggle with because I remember when I was told that God made everything in 7 days, I wanted to learn more. You know, I was actually at kindergarten, first grade, excited for religious ed because I was going to figure out how everything was made. You know, I was going to answer to everything.
At that age, you really thought like that?
Well, when somebody, when you're 5 years old and you look out your front window and you see a tree standing there, and then somebody tells you that God made that tree, and he also made the blades of grass and the sky. And then somebody says, hey, you want to learn more about this God character? Heck yeah, I'm in. But then it turned it, they didn't, I was thinking I was going to learn some type of secret plan, but instead I learned and heard a lot of stories of things. And then as you get older and you start to, it takes you a long time to figure out that it just couldn't happen like that. And by then you're all effed up in the head.
It's evolution, baby.
But on the other side of that is going through these traditions also gives you a sense of community. And I think that we got a great priest right now, Father Jim. And so I think it's kind of nice. Obviously, the whole priest sexual abuse of boys over the past decade has really soured my taste on the whole thing. But
that's just Catholicism.
Yeah.
That's not necessary.
Right, and that's what I was raised as a Catholic. But if the people who believe most that you're going to either have eternal salvation or eternal damnation are willing to sodomize young boys, then what's the whole thing worth? You know, the people who are in charge of this thing. And then the people who are really in charge, the ones who are closest to God, you know, don't punish them and actually put them in positions where they can do it again. But then I got to thinking, and I'm probably not the first one that ever thought this, but I'm agnostic. Some people accuse that with being atheist. An atheist believes there is no God or any purpose or reason to anything, really. I think there is something, but don't know what it is. I don't think it's any of the major religions. I don't think any person could be enlightened. But I do think of this. Everything exists for a reason. So somebody will say, well, the Finger Lakes were made because God put his hand down on the surface. But that's not the reason.
It's glaciers.
Yeah, glaciers are the reason. Now, where are the glaciers?
You know, it's funny. I took my son to Watkins Glen, and he was like, how did this get here? And I explained to him that, you know.
God made it.
Well, no. I explained to him. In fact, no. I explained to him that there was once an ice age, and he said, well, that's what killed the dinosaurs. And I said, you got it, kid.
No, you're learning science.
He's got it all sorts of figured out.
And I said, you know, then it got warmer, it melted, and it carved this out of the bedrock. And here we are today.
So, you're right, glaciers. And then what are the reasons for the glaciers? Well, there are actual tangible reasons. I'm no scientist. But then you say, okay, what's the reasons behind that? And you'll say, well, you know, it's the polar ice cap and the global weather patterns and this and that. And then you'll say, well, why? What's the reason for that? And eventually you get down to it where it just can't be answered. You know, science can answer so much. Even if you say that science has figured out the Big Bang, and at the Big Bang, you know, well, why did that happen? So I'm starting to think that maybe things are just timeless. Like there is no time. Time's an illusion.
Time is an illusion.
So.
It's true.
What is going on up here right now?
I had my daughter's first communion, and it's crazy. I love my daughter. I care so much. I want to do things right.
Yeah.
And, you know, putting her through that whole 7 months of classes. And I mean, her mind is different. Her perception is different now than it was before it started this whole process. You know what I mean? And it culminated with her eating what she believed to be the body of Jesus Christ. Or maybe she doesn't. Maybe she's just like, you know, who knows? But, and singing some songs like Jesus is good. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. Things like that, you know, from a outsiders, let's say somebody from another country or another religion comes into the church and sees that, they're going to think it's kind of strange. The same way if a Catholic went to a church in... You ever go to another church than yours, like Episcopal Mass or something like that?
Yep.
And it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
So who's got it right? I mean, by this thinking, God made this segment.
Man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast.
Bet, babe, slide a piece of the porter. Kickstar, run the job.
Look at here.
Kickstar, run the job.
Media Stew, what are you drinking?
Diet Pepsi.
DP.
Does it have saccharin in it?
No, but aspartame.
Aspartame?
Aspartame.
Pardon me?
Pardon me?
Pardon me?
Ass is a part of me?
How about you, Mysterious Taco Girl?
I actually have a ginger ale. It's the only thing I had in the house.
Nah, Canada Dry. You solely Canada Dry?
Only.
No Schweppes?
Schweppes.
No, it's not the same.
What's another popular ginger ale?
I think that's it.
And I think I've discussed this before, but I just lightly sip it. It's pretty full.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of high fructose corn syrup.
The segment's not about how you drink your
ginger. I just changed it that way. It's made with 100%
drink
natural
that
flavors.
When you get a bellyache.
Yeah. It's made with what?
100% natural flavors.
Great.
It's the only soda I drink these days.
Ginger.
Dandy. What are you drinking?
Nothing.
It's Dandy's new thing.
Nothing.
Going in dry.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you came up here, you're like, I got to bring something to drink. It's going to wear me up there for an hour just sitting there.
I ran back to my car.
Sure, you had to have a drink, but Dandy purposely doesn't bring a drink up here.
I don't understand the big deal.
No, I just think it's strange.
Dandy's always persecuted.
You know, any
I can see why he wants to retire.
He's a contrarian.
Any podcast that we have up here that's over, that's an hour long type of deal, every single person always brings a drink up. Every single one, every time.
Is there not an hour in your day that you don't go without a drink?
There is definitely not for me. I drink all day long.
I don't think there is. I mean, a drink
coffee,
hand.
Only when I, like, I'll finish my drink and then, you know, I'll just wait to go downstairs maybe to get another one, but.
Time in between drinks, but.
I mean, I don't have to drink all day.
No, me either.
Saucy Joe, what are you drinking?
Drinking a beer. It's right here. I was drinking it before on the show. It's delicious.
It's an oddly shaped bottle.
You're an oddly shaped bottle, my friend. Is it? Is it really?
It seems like it.
It's a little shorter, maybe?
So what happened to the Beastie Boys intro theme song? I was curious about that.
We got sued.
No, just time for a change, you know. It
the,
is.
It was the Beast.
Afraid of down the road.
Getting a cease and desist letter.
Yeah, well, or YouTube would just automatically slap ads on it, or, you know. So, figured after 120-something episodes or 30, it's time for a change. I like the new one. It gets me into a groove. I'm drinking this here. Extra large coffee, and I don't think they had large cups, because at lunch I ordered a large, got an extra large. Girl at work's Finger Lakes One was here today. She had an extra large. I'm like, extra large? She said, I ordered a large, but I got the extra large. And then tonight, same thing.
Extra large.
So they must be out of large cups. At the Dunk.
Pro tip, go to the Dunk if you're into coffee.
So this is an extra large coffee with cream and one sugar from the Dunk.
Kickstar, run the job.
Look at here.
Man drink like that and he don't eat. He is going to die.
Dandy, you got a choice?
I didn't, but I found one.
Okay. This is the part of the show where Dandy Aaron D comes up with a excruciating choice for us to make. It's either one or the other type of deal. And it's not as simple as you may think.
All right. Would you rather be the cashier at a drive-thru window for the rest of your life, or a prostitute for 15 years.
Prostitute Excuse for me? 15 years.
Say it again?
A prostitute.
No, for the 15, first one.
The person who works the drive-through window. In a fast food restaurant.
100%.
For life.
100% I pick in the fast food. I'm me not too. Even going to think about it.
I do that now.
I think it would be a riot.
For the whole, your whole life?
For the rest of your life.
Or
I think a being a prostitute would be a riot.
No, not if you're a girl, it won't be.
Probably not for a girl, but for a guy. But then again, for a guy, you got to take what comes at you. Right?
Can you're I be, a girl can, too, but
right.
It's just, it's,
Can I be a high-end prostitute? Like, can I be like a
low-end only
$10,000 a night type of
strictly bottle.
Type of stud? I mean, what's sure. the rule on that? If I can,
you're a prostitute,
so I can attain well, the highest everything. Level. I can attain the highest level of my profession as I can.
That's cool. You
can do that at the drive-thru.
Yeah, but there's a cap. They're only going to pay a drive-thru cashier so much. But as a high-end prostitute, you could make millions. Hundreds of thousand dollars a year.
But you're still a prostitute.
And then after 15 years, I'll take all my money and take go into a Best more moderate business. Venture.
Yeah. I'm of the mindset that doesn't put any sort of negative attitude toward prostitution.
Yeah, but it just seems like it would be a sucky job.
Like, literally. It depends.
I'm taking, I'd go prostitute. Yeah, 15 years.
Really?
Early retirement.
You'd need a prostitute name, too. Like, you could be Beef Stew.
There you go.
Done.
Isn't that what you wanted the name of the show to be?
I could be Slim yes, Jim.
You did want it to
the
be.
The Beef Stew Podcast.
The Beef Stew.
It's great. I think we even made an intro with it. And now your host, Beef Stew.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I was like, how about we settle on the sauce?
No, how about not? How about we don't call it the Beef Stew Podcast?
Beef Stew Podcast.
Mysterious Taco, you're a cashier.
Easy.
Mia Stu is a prostitute. Saucy Joe?
All right, I'm going to stick with my original. I'll go with cashier.
And
menial work doesn't bother me.
I'm a prostitute. Dandy?
I'm going to have to go with cashier myself.
Really?
Yeah. I thought for sure you'd hope.
I did, too.
I mean, I guess you guys are looking at it in a glamorous way.
No, I mean, like I say, you got to take what comes at you, but... And I don't know if I could attain the price the price point that I'm looking for. I'm a 42-year-old man.
I think the limitations are, you know, who you are in the end. Like, am I going to be able to draw what I want to draw? Probably not.
It'd be the whole package, though. I would take them out. I'd be more of an escort.
Like Deuce Bigelow?
Yeah, and then I'd make most of my money off referrals.
My goodness. That's what you think.
Yeah. So part two... A Dandy's choice is where we have to come up with half of a choice. I think Stu should do it. And yep. Then Dandy's got another one in store. So it can be anything. So you got to say something.
Only one part of it, though.
Yeah.
Just
anything.
Would you rather one, and then he'll say the two.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather clean toilets at the Carrier Dome?
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one.
Or never be able to cut one of your toenails?
Oh.
Just one.
Just one.
You have to let it grow.
Yeah. So how you is like clean every time there's an event at the Carrier Dome, you're there.
Yeah.
But you got other people doing it. You don't got to do the whole dome yourself every
no,
time.
No, but you're that's your job is to go in there with the pressure washer and
pressure
and,
washer
and do business. You got to imagine that's what they use.
Hmm. Yeah, the whole place is like a concrete.
And I'm saying especially like after a concert where there's, yeah. You know, we're not talking a basketball game. We're talking after a concert where there's some real shit show going on.
And there's drains on the floor.
And you can't, or you can't cut one of your, just one of your toenails.
One of your toenails.
I'd probably go with the toenails, and I'd go with, you know, I don't think my pinky toenail would ever grow that much. I don't think it would ever get to be too long.
I think mine would.
I think it probably would.
Mm-hmm.
I think my pinky toe grows faster than any other toes.
Well, maybe, but it's
I feel like mine barely grows.
I have like one bunk toe that my toenail almost fell off when I was like.
So you could go with that one.
I think I might go with that one because it doesn't grow. You don't get to
pick your toe.
Oh, well, now Danny's making some adjustments.
Come on, let me pick my toe.
The toe is picked at random.
Yes.
I'd go with the toenail thing.
I'm thinking big toe because that would just be awful.
It would break off.
It would start to like...
It would hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Eventually, it just break. That bitch would just break off.
No, have you ever seen like...
Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets long. It like curls.
Those people maintain that level so they can be in the Guinness Book of World Records. Yeah. They're not
looking for that shit to turn black and just fall off.
They're not just some guy.
Yeah, I'd definitely grow the toenail. Definitely grow the toenail. Take my chances.
I think if I can power wash the bathroom, I'm just going to power wash. Yeah.
You're talking serious staph infection.
That's fine. Yeah. You get all suited up.
Yeah.
The dookie, son.
I do that.
The dookie.
The one toenail seems a lot easier. But it's risky. But I'll go with the toenail. It could get could prove to be a big mistake, you know, down the road.
Got to walk around with one foot in the air.
You can't wear even shoes.
I guess you can't really wear flip-flops.
Well, you can't wear any shoes. If the best thing you can
do is wear flip-flops.
Yeah, no, it would look gross.
Yeah, well.
You already have a bunk toe. What's the difference?
No, I mean,
everybody already thinks you're a freak.
My bunk toe looks fine. It's just the toenail.
So you think.
I'll show you.
I don't want to see your goddamn toe.
The toenail isn't as a...
Hammer toe.
Look at my third toe is longer than all my other toes.
That means something.
That means finger.
See?
But that's not my bunk toe. My bunk toe is the shorter one.
Well, you already shouldn't be wearing flip-flops was the general consensus.
Oh, come on. Look at those pretty boys. Because I decided to be cool and run a marathon. I'm stupid.
That's when it happened? Wow.
Both toes, same toes, both feet.
Fucked them up for life, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because it's shorter than the other one. Like, that's some type of thing that's going to make it hard to run.
Well, like, pounds in the shoe, and eventually it just got so now black, and I didn't want it to fall off, so I, babied it back to health.
Like a little bird. Now if you run, it'll knock the long one down.
No, because I still run. I just don't run as much.
Try it. See what happens.
I got bigger shoes.
Run another marathon.
Both. No way.
So.
Never again.
I mentioned at the top of the show that we'd be talking about how musicians make their money because I found this infographic. It's pretty shocking. I've recommended Spotify in the past. It's more than one Spotify user here tonight, right?
Power user, I'd say.
Yeah,
I don't make any money off Spotify.
A premium. But it seems unsustainable. So let me take you through this little infographic here that I believe it was on informationisbeautiful.net. And as you can see here, what they do is they say, okay, this is how many units that an artist, a solo artist, must sell to earn $1,160, which U.S. minimum wage for a month, I guess. Or whatever it is. But that's the standard. So every time. So here's an example. Self-pressed CD. That's the guy who makes it, his own CD and goes to the bar and sells them. Charges $9.99. Record label makes zero. He makes $8. And he needs to sell 143 of them. You understand that?
Yes.
I dig. I follow you.
So then we move down the old line here. CD Baby, if you sell your albums on there, they're keeping about $7.50 for the band. A retail album with a good royalty deal is making about only a dollar, so they got to sell 1,160 of these things just to get that $1,160. And then you got Napster iTunes. Anybody know what that is? I don't even know what that is.
No.
Napster iTunes?
Yeah, it's like...
It's just Napster like it used to be, but you gotta pay.
Well, the band's getting 94 cents a unit there. Then you got your online CD Baby downloads. They must have a deal with iTunes themselves. And then we get to Amazon and iTunes, and those are the 99 cent downloads, and you're getting 9 cents. You know, a song, so you have to have 12,399 downloads to make $1,100. And then look below that. Rhapsody, one of the streamers, streaming the music.
That's how many you have to...
849,817 yeah. plays for the artist to get $1,100.
It's not when they make their money anyway.
No, apparently not, because then you come down to... What is that? Last.fm? .fm? It's not, that one's the one that's on Xbox. 1,546,667 streams to make $1,100. That is 0.07 of a cent. But then you get to Spotify.
4 million.
4 million plays to get $1,100. So I think Spotify has become is like a illusion. I don't think that they'll be able to sustain that. It doesn't Why? Make sense.
The artists know they're not going to make money off sales. They're not making money off CD sales or plays. That's not where they make their money anymore.
Music videos.
The whole thing is shifted. I'll send you an article that was in, I think it was in Wired. The whole industry has changed. They don't make money off record sales anymore.
No.
At all.
Yeah, apparently not.
But that doesn't preclude Spotify or Last.fm from being sustainable. They make their money a different way. They make their money through advertising. So they're sustainable either way.
And artists, well, they also make their money through subscriptions.
Yeah.
But not every artist is on Spotify. And, you know, some of these artists might take a look at it and say, screw this.
They might.
But that's not hurting Spotify.
But ultimately, I think you put
that. It will when Spotify can't provide enough material to justify being
that'll
an authoritative
never happen
music
because
source.
The way that Spotify works is they make deals with major labels, and major labels have thousands and thousands of artists, so they're always going to have plenty of popular content. It's to, if I make a CD and I say I don't want it on Spotify, that doesn't hurt Spotify. It's, and if I make a CD through a major label, I have no say in the matter anyway, and it's going to be on Spotify whether I like it or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, the label makes even less on these deals with Spotify.
But they do make money because they do it. They have such a massive amount of artists.
And I'm sure initially Spotify had to pay the labels for the licensing
Absolutely.
Fees. To
the
begin
label
with.
A label will make 0.0016 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But the but label already made the money on the front end of the deal.
And then, you know, say it's an artist like Rihanna, who's getting millions and millions of plays
a day, probably.
They're going to make money off her. It's just incidental money. They don't really care, I'm sure, about it. It could go away, and it wouldn't hurt their bottom line too much, but they're still making money on it. It doesn't cost them anything.
Time will tell.
So does it get into how they make money?
Well, that's it. It's just the breakdown,
of what
per unit, how much goes sell. To the artist.
Yeah, I think a lot of times now it's touring for sure. Licensing music to TV shows, movies, commercials, and their own merchandise. You know what I mean? Like, if I make a poster for a popular band, they might pay me $5 or $6 per poster, which they would turn around and sell for $20 to $30. You know what I'm saying?
Anything that they control. Beastie Boys, Fish. Control their own ticket sales and concerts, mm-hmm. so Fish makes more money than anybody when they tour.
Yeah.
Because it's all them. They don't go through Ticketmaster.
A lot of bands actually do that now. Widespread Panic does that. Wilco does that.
So on that idea, then, you'd want to get your music just to get out there for free, and then you tour.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the Grateful Dead model of the bootlegs and the live show, and that's how... There's no way they were ever going to sustain themselves as being played on the radio or selling studio albums. You know, they had to go out and play 100 shows a year. And that's how, you know. And they
loved it.
Yeah, and then, you know, 20 years down the line, it doesn't even exist anymore. They still make millions of dollars a year just off, you know, their merchandise sales.
I like Spotify.
I love Spotify.
Yeah, I got it. That's where I listen to all my music is Spotify. 100% of it. I don't ever open up Pandora.
I like Pandora.
It's a lot like some. I when I'm in my basement working, I'll put the. I just have my iPad or iPod down there, and I never, ever, ever listen to it. So it's actually kind of fun because I'll be like, "Oh shit, if I gotta have this."
You got Spotify on the iPod?
Spotify pod?
I could just plug my phone in, but just the dock I have just takes an iPod. So
right, but I'm saying you can get your iPod can connect to the Wi-Fi in your house, and you can download the Spotify app.
Yeah, I could.
Because that's what I do. I got the Spotify app on every computer I use, every laptop, on my phone, my old phone that's not even online anymore. And
yeah, but I have like 10,000 songs in my iTunes library, you know, so I might as well listen to them here or there.
Sure. Sure. Hey, speaking of listening to stuff, right now I've got the Tweets of the Week. Tweet of the week, I should say. This week's tweet of the week comes from @GringoTheSpice, who says, "After a heavy night's drinking, I woke up next to a really ugly woman. Then I realized I'd made it home safely after all." His wife is ugly. He's got an ugly wife. Also, I got a tweet here from @TheJustinDuncan, who tweets, "The only way to open a pack of toilet paper is to finger blast a hole right through the plastic in one of the roll hollows."
It's true. It's true.
It is the only way to open
it. It's the only way I think I've ever done it.
Yep. The roll hollows.
It's funny. I've never thought about that, but it's true.
It's just how you do it.
It's one of those things I'm sure everyone does. You do it, right?
Yeah. I think some grandparent. I do it, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
See, but when I have to. But now that I have a family, we get the big family jams.
So you don't do it to like
no,
the top
but they,
one?
They don't come individually wrapped.
Yeah, you know, so that's how mine is. You kind of open the big one.
Plastic bag and you throw that in the closet, and then when you go in there, you take three or four out at once.
But you don't blast it in there with the initial opening?
To me.
The initial opening of it? Yeah, I realize it's a bunch of them in the.
No, I just rip it. I know what you're talking about. And I have done that in the past, but times are changing, just like in the music industry. Toilet paper isn't individually wrapped all the time.
@MickeyMacaulay tweets, "The main problem with gay marriage is when two men hold the knife to cut the cake, they will be too strong and cut through the plate and table."
It's funny. Men.
Yeah, because they're stronger.
Yeah.
Gay or not. That's the Tweets of the Week. That's it. Does Polly always happen to...
I'm trying to find that out right now.
Send us something. You know what happened this week? There was an old wives' tale that Atari, at one point, dumped a whole bunch of old game cartridges, primarily the E.T. video game, which was a failure miserably.
I saw it on the news.
In New Mexico?
In a New Mexico landfill that was since concreted over. They covered it with concrete, you know? It was just like a sealed... And not unlike Geraldo Rivera opening up Al Capone's vault, some searchers went back to look in there, and sure enough, they found freaking tons of these things. Cartridges, old cartridges.
Thousands.
Mostly E.T., but there was also a lot of other ones.
Pitfall.
Like Human Cannonball was one.
We got nothing on the line.
From Polly. Well, that's all right.
Do you have an Atari? I had an Atari.
Oh, hell yeah.
I didn't have an Atari, but I did actually play that game when I was a child. The
E.T.?
E.T. game, yeah. And it was terrible. Now that I ever think about it. I just remember playing it and just doing the same thing over and over and wondering what the hell was going on. Like, this game doesn't make any sense.
I was really young when I had an Atari.
Is Pitfall
the one? 6, 7.
There's some pits.
Were you on the rope?
Yep.
And you jump on the three alligators'
There's
heads.
Alligators.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It's like
if you jumped on their head, they wouldn't bite you.
Like we had Pac-Man, Mrs. Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Qbert.
Qbert's a great game.
Qbert's awesome.
The game's got a little better.
I always like Donkey Kong, too.
Donkey Kong's a great game.
Better on ColecoVision, though.
Much
just like
on
the
ColecoVision.
Dang arcade.
Did Coleco have the...
Different pad, yeah. They had a dial pad, too.
It didn't turn, actually. It wasn't meant to turn. It was just a... It moved in 8 directions.
Kid down the street had a ColecoVision.
I love my Coleco.
Now... when I got Atari, it was like it really first came out. So you had like Pong, Space Invaders, Missile Command, just the basics. Atari Baseball, not even real sports baseball, but the one where there was just like two people on the screen, a pitcher and a hitter, and the hitter would hit it.
Hit a square pixel.
He'd run, yeah, he'd run and grab the square pixel and run to touch the base before the guy got there.
That's
and
how baseball works.
Yeah, you could hit, the only way you could hit a home run is if you hit it straight over second base and out, it would be a home run. And pretty stupid. Then real sports baseball came along, and that was decent. That was somewhere decent. There's actually a few players on the field. But you'd move every fielder together. So there'd be like three infielders and three outfielders. And when you move the joystick, they'd all move in the same direction at the same speed.
Oh, I hated that. That was frustrating.
Yeah. It's kind of
silly. What year did Atari come out?
Late 70s?
Was it the 70s?
Well, Pong was out by the 70s. I can remember when there was no Atari, but there was just Pong. One of my friends had Pong. I was probably second grade, third grade.
Roland Bushnell. I think it was 81.
Atari?
I think so. That's what comes to my mind when I think of the name Roland Bushnell.
It could have been. But arcades were all the rage back then. You'd have to actually go to the arcade to play a decent video game.
You can't even go to the arcade.
Well, that was his idea. No. He was like, I don't want to go to the arcade anymore. Right.
Simon
bring
told
this
me
home.
He wanted to be an arcade owner. I go, buddy. He goes, it's not dangerous. I go, no.
Financially, it might be.
I don't think there's any money in it, though.
Well, hey, I mentioned that we were going to be taking a bit of a little summer biweekly hiatus. So instead of being here every Monday, it'd be every other Monday. More important than ever to make sure you subscribe now to The Sauce Pod on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSaucePod. On Twitter at The Sauce Pod. On Stitcher.com. On iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review us. On YouTube, search for FingerLakes1.com. Subscribe to the channel. Or head over to TheSaucePod.com and link up to our sweet, sexy RSS feed. And then you can watch or listen on your computer, tablet, phone, smartphone, or television. When a new episode comes about, you'll be notified. That's how subscriptions work on the internet. Got some good news this week, some important news. Probably should get right to it. Dateline, Marshall Islands, a territory of the United States, in case you didn't know, Northern Pacific. It's,
I did watch Pacific Rim this weekend.
Was it good?
Was it Northern Pacific Rim?
Yeah, it's all right.
Do you like giant robots?
Yeah, it's all right.
Smashing stuff?
Yeah, it's like Godzilla kind of reboot. Well,
that's what it's for, people who like big robots.
Man lost at sea for 14 months, denies eating shipmate.
Dang.
Aw, that's sad.
On November, you be the judge. On November 17th, 2012, Jose Salvador Alvarenga, age 37, set sail in a small fishing boat near the coastal town of Tonala, Mexico, with Ezekiel Cordoba.
That guy sounds delicious.
whose age was reportedly between 15 and 18.
Oh,
that's even worse.
The boat disappeared. The boat disappeared during bad weather. In January, Alvarenga was found alive on an atoll near the Marshall Islands, nearly 6,500 miles away. Alvarenga said Cordoba died 16 weeks into the long ordeal because he wasn't able to stomach the only diet available to the castaways, raw fish and animal blood. When Alvarenga was rescued, Cordoba's corpse was nowhere in sight. Some believe he may have eaten his shipmate for survival. Alvarenga told the Daily Mail he pushed Cordoba overboard 5 days after the teen died. After he died, one part of my brain. Now that's Italian.
Yeah.
I'll just read it as if he was an Englishman. After he died, one part of my brain refused to accept he had gone, so I laid him down on his side at the far end of the boat, beside the broken engine, and carried on talking to him. Each morning I'd tell him to wake up, and sometimes I'd ask him how it felt to be dead.
Aww.
It was only on the fifth day that I came to my senses and asked myself, what am I doing talking to a corpse? Then I asked God to give me courage, said goodbye, and pushed his body over the side. Alvarenga's story has unleashed skepticism from many, including G. Bing.
Uh-oh. G. Bing's on the case.
The acting secretary of foreign affairs for the Marshall Islands.
Oh, Jesus.
It does sound like an incredible story, he says, and I'm not sure if I believe it. When we saw him, he was not really thin compared to other survivors in the past. I may have some doubts. Once we start communicating with where he's from, we'll be able to find out more information. In early April, Alvarenga's lawyer told Reuters that his client did pass a lie detector test.
This guy didn't eat that other guy.
Especially if he was dead for five fucking days.
Well, he may not have been. He may have been. He may have killed him.
Why does everybody want this guy to have eaten that guy?
I'm just saying it's a possibility. Nobody knows what went on out there on that boat. He did say he didn't.
And even if he did do it, who gives a fuck?
Well, it depends if the guy died first or not,
I guess.
You've
seen alive, right? Fuck. Donner party?
I'm just skeptical because he was pretty healthily plump.
Well, he said
he was eating fish and animal blood.
Where are they getting animal blood?
He must from have been from the fish. Fish blood.
Fish.
They could have just left it at raw fish. We would have had the idea.
Yeah, I don't know a thing like that. A story like that.
All bets are off when you're lost at sea.
I agree.
I just don't know why everybody is like wants that guy to have eaten that other guy. Like, it's a big deal.
Well, there's one way to take this story, and that's man lost at sea for 14 months, found.
Yeah.
Shipmate didn't make it.
Yeah.
But when you add, I mean, even when I intro'd this and I said something about eating a shipmate, everybody was like, whoa, what is that? I want to learn more. This sounds like it could be an interesting story. Dandy, would you... In this situation, ever eat Saucy Joe?
I don't think I could do it.
Listen.
Number one, I wouldn't know how to cut them up. I wouldn't know what the good parts are.
He's so hungry, you just sniff them out.
You can't tell my good parts from my bad parts? Is it this hoodie that I'm wearing that obscures my good parts?
I think you start with like inner thigh, calf. Same thing like most...
Muscular.
Yeah. You go with the muscles, a bicep.
The back straps.
Then at the end, you go with the organs. Heart, liver.
Sweet meats.
I think I'm just going to throw you overboard.
You want my loins, Dan. You want this inner thigh. That's the good stuff.
I'm going to talk to you for 5 days after you're dead.
Tell me to wake up. Wake up, goddamn you. I've been rowing and rowing, and you've done nothing.
And then I'm going to throw you overboard like
Listen,
that.
Listen, better you go on a cruise with the current me than like high school me, which weighs 70 pounds less. You could sustain yourself a lot longer now on me. If you were going to do it.
On its loins.
Theoretically, would have eaten this guy raw.
That's the only way to eat a man.
I mean, if they're shipwrecked, you make a fire and you cook it. Cook the meat, and it's probably a little more bearable.
The last thing you want on a boat is
a fire. Yeah, but he was on a fishing boat.
Right, that's what I mean.
So he might have had like a little grill and
a little
shit.
Cook stove, a little hot plate.
Fishing boat.
Maybe he had one night he had soup, the next night he had ribs.
I feel like if the boat was... had a stove and a sink and stuff. Might have had like a walkie-talkie or whatever they're called to like say, hey, come get me. I'm at XYZ.
They're Mexican, though. I don't think they have... They don't have to have radios and stuff like we do.
Why not?
They don't have the same rules. You can just go out on a boat and go fishing.
Well, yeah, but...
Maybe to some extent. There is some oversight.
You still want to have a radio. There's no rule against saying you can't bring a radio out there. Seems like a smart move.
I picture these guys with like a little propane grill.
Unless you bring enough delicious people out with you that you can survive in that case.
But they weren't cooking anything because it was raw fish, so there goes that idea.
Yeah.
That's true.
I pictured a little dinghy they were in. Not a fishing boat.
Similar to the movie with the kid, Indian kid with the tiger.
Yeah, Life of Pi.
Yeah, that's the situation I envision too. Dateline, Florida Keys. Crack-smoking neighbors get in machete fight.
Dang. Florida.
Neighbors who were smoking crack together in the Florida Keys wound up behind bars after one started swinging machete at the other. The incident happened late Wednesday night when deputies responded to reports of a man swinging a machete at people on Point Pleasant Drive in Key Largo. Deputies found a couple who claimed their neighbor, 53-year-old Antonio Motes Diaz, had been swinging the machete. As the investigation continued, the couple admitted that they had been drinking beer and smoking crack with Motes before the machete incident. Motes claimed the couple became upset when he ran out of crack and said the woman spat on him and the man identified as 26-year-old Christopher Stevens had attacked him. Authorities said Motes then grabbed a baseball bat and then another machete to defend himself. Dandy, you own a machete?
No, I don't think so. I don't see why I would.
Cut sugarcane?
Yeah, clearing your backyard.
Defending yourself. When I was younger, I think I lived with people who had machetes, but I don't think I personally have one. Like, in my shed out back, I don't have a machete.
I don't have a machete. I think I should get one, though.
I know you can buy them at Walmart.
Yeah. Of course.
You can?
Yeah. I have a machete.
For what purpose?
What? Chopping brush.
Or in case a machete fight breaks out.
Yeah, what am I going to do if I'm smoking crack with my neighbors?
That's true.
And a fight breaks out.
Don't bring a baseball bat to a machete fight is what I get from this story.
But if you have a machete and a baseball bat,
you're going to do some damage.
Yeah.
That's a dual wield right there.
The wildlings always fight with two weapons, one in each hand. The trick to defeating a wildling is to get rid of one of those weapons first.
They're adept. You got to even the playing field.
Right, they're adept. But nobody wants to listen to Jon Snow. He shouldn't train the troops, right?
No. Nope.
So anyways...
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I got here for you. Story from Portland, Oregon. Ice cream shop stuck up by a robber.
Dang.
Police in Portland, Oregon are searching for a man who witnesses say robbed an ice cream store by brandishing a syringe that he claimed was full of AIDS. It happened Tuesday night at a Baskin Robbins in downtown Portland. Catherine Pepin, who was working there that evening, told police that a man in a brightly colored clothing entered the store at closing time and pulled out a hypodermic needle claiming it was infected. She says, some guy just walked in and said, this is a robbery, this is a needle full of AIDS, and then opened the cash drawer. This is literally a stick up. She said that whatever was in the syringe looked like blood. The man escaped on foot with an undisclosed amount of money, but no one was hurt. The suspect is described as a white man in his 20s, 5 feet 3 inches tall and skinny with short brown hair and glasses, so keep your eyes out in the Portland, Oregon area.
I want to say 9 times out of 10 I could disarm a man with a syringe without a scratch, with nary a scratch on me, AIDS or not.
Or you could end up with a full-blown AIDS.
Or I leave the one time that I full don't, blown. I leave it with full-blown AIDS.
Full-blown.
I mean, it's just so dumb.
That's super dumb.
Who's got AIDS laying around anyway?
Unless he has AIDS.
He drew his own blood in the syringe and was like, this thing is full of AIDS.
Or he has a friend with AIDS. He's like, give me some of that AIDS. I'm going to go get us some ice cream money.
That guy's an accomplice.
Dandy, what's your go-to flavor at the ice cream shop?
That's so weird.
AIDS. Peanut butter. Anything with peanut butter?
Ooh, I got some peanut butter.
So do you like a peanut butter like sundae, that type of deal? Or you like hard ice cream with like peanut butter in it?
Peanut butter sundae.
Well, that's interesting. How about peanut butter sauce? So I see,
Joe,
what's your go-to?
Yeah, a choco PB. I'm into that.
I'm a hot caramel guy with some nuts. Okay. Vanilla ice cream. A sundae.
Sundae.
Yeah. Sometimes a milkshake. Used to like the flurries. If you can get your hands on a fruity pebble flurry, it's a rare flurry. But if you can, it is the best flurry you can get. The only thing I think they sell them is Moravia. I'm serious. What's your go-to?
Ice cream shop?
Yeah.
You guys on either the couch.
Go Mexican sundae, or I go... soft serve vanilla with the nuts.
Good choice.
the nuts on the top.
Yeah, a dipped, a nut.
Nut roll.
Yeah, nut yep. roll.
Sure. And a mysterious taco girl, what's your go-to?
Probably just a kitty twist if I'm at an ice cream shop.
A kitty, like a little chocolate vanilla twist, huh? Kitty size.
Yeah, that's enough.
Kitty cone. Well, it depends. Now kitty cones
only if
are
it's
like,
in a regular cone.
Yeah, some kitty cones now are like mediums used to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you go and it's still this big.
Supersize me.
Plenty of ice cream for me. Yeah, as like long I, as I have water with it. You gotta have water with your ice cream.
I'd wear a small hot caramel sundae. Mm-hmm. Why, just for because you like how it goes down, or is it like healthy?
I think I get thirsty.
Yeah, it does make you a little thirsty, ice cream. But I wear a small hot caramel sundae, and it's plenty size. It's a plenty big enough size. If you order a large, forget about it. It's like way too much. But I'll eat
There's
it all
There's people
anyway.
That get larges, though. You see them there.
Oh, all the time. All the time. Sometimes that person's me because I forget and I think I'll just get a large. I'm satisfied after a small, but I'll eat the whole large. Damn it, believe me. Stick my finger in the corners to get that extra caramel. Every time.
Every time.
Well, what are we coming up here on 9:01 p.m. Eastern Standard here time in the FingerLakes1.com studios here in downtown Seneca Falls. Hey, I got the Finger Lakes 1 weekly TV ratings are in. I actually forgot to post it up there. I got it in my hand, so I might as well share it with you. This is interesting. First of all, this show, The Sauce Podcast, last week, 760 viewers on YouTube. Thank you, Sauce Pod Nation International. And only 62 MP3 downloads on iTunes. I'm assuming most of those, that's probably iTunes and Stitcher combined. That number hasn't risen much. Top show of the week, though, The 31st Lap, episode 112, 774 MP3 downloads. Only 140 views on YouTube. It's quite the opposite.
Yeah, whatever happened last week? Are they all together tonight? Didn't they have
a disagreement?
That was the Demolition Derby podcast. You guys watched the end of that? I think I showed it to Saucy Joe. It's subtle. If I didn't tell Saucy Joe, hey, watch what happens here.
I didn't really. Even though you did tell me watch what happens here, I still didn't.
very subtle. That was the Crash Course podcast about Demolition Derbies. They had 424 on YouTube, 223 iTunes, but they had 46 live viewers, which is pretty good. But, yeah, they were better. But tonight, during tonight's episode, which airs before this one, oh, by the way, we're out of the news segment, which this week I appropriately named Stu's News.
Baby, you got a stew going.
Tonight on the Crash Course podcast, a man cried.
A grown man?
A grown man cried, and he was a tough man. He was a Demolition Derby guy. Sitting right there where Mysterious Taco Girl sat, there was two people on the couch. I was monitoring the show from downstairs. And he was talking about taking apart a car that a friend of his who had died used to drive or something. Mm-hmm. Started crying. Guy producing the show took the camera off him and went to someone else. And I got to tell him when I see him, that's the biggest mistake you can make in video, in any type of video work. Somebody's crying, you hold that camera. If you have the ability to zoom, you zoom in tight. It's Aww. A tried and true method. Because I was watching, I was like, holy crap, this guy's crying. And then he switched away, and I was like, switch it back. I want to taste his tears.
Has anyone ever cried on this? Anyone ever cried on his tears?
I don't know if anybody ever cried on the sauce pod. I mean, Rob Miller maybe once? Mr. Excitement?
I probably had tears after I vomited that time.
Yeah, but those were...
No one wanted to taste those tears.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, we're about ready to wrap this show up. But before we get out of here, we need to determine everybody's recommendations. This is part of the show where we each recommend something to you. You try it out, your life gets just a little bit better every week. It's a kind of like a pyramid scheme. I recommend butter beans. Why not? When's the last time you incorporated butter beans into something you're making? The big ass butter beans.
Yeah, I've had butter beans.
They're like the size of a cell phone.
Some of them can be. At Wegmans, they in the salad bar area, they have a delicious butter bean and peppadew pepper salad, and that's fantastic too. So I'm recommending that. And I'm recommending butter beans. I mean, I made some greens and beans this weekend, and as I was grabbing the keneally, I said, you know what? What the hell? I'm going to throw a can of butter beans in there. Big hit. I had more than one people said, oh, wow, you put butter beans in your greens and beans? I said, this time I did. This time I did.
Every time after.
Dandy, what do you recommend this week? Now, first of all, Dandy, are you going to do this biweekly thing, you think, or are you, like, stepping away?
He's done.
No, I'm retiring.
Done.
Wow, that's crazy. So, I mean, we would need to get a replacement. I've often wondered if Dandy was even replaceable.
Oh, I'm replaceable.
No, he's not.
Like, the dynamic of it all kind of from the start had revolved around Dandy R&D, right?
You have your own song and everything.
Let's hear that time. One last time.
Can't
you
anymore.
Have the Dandy song?
Can't play it anymore.
Play it right now.
I could play it right now as long as it's for 20 seconds or less. Dandy,
Dandy, we're gonna go now. I think I'm crying right now.
That might be the first time. Is it?
So many tears on that couch tonight.
We can't resist your smile.
Not my smile.
No, Dandy.
I'm trying to think of a recommendation.
Well, Dandy, what do you recommend then for your last time, maybe? You know, you never know, though, this guy. He's a real mystery guy. Mystery man.
There's a show on AMC called Turn.
Turn.
Do you like it?
Got into it this weekend. I haven't seen all the episodes, but
we have a few taped.
Seems interesting.
That's the one that's set in revolutionary times.
I like old-timey
America's
shit.
America's First Spy Network. I wanted to watch that. I agree with you, Dandy. I mean, I can't because I didn't watch it, but I want to. Thanks for reminding me with your recommendation. That's the type of shit I'm talking about.
Wow. He's going out with a bang.
Glad I could help you on my last.
Good job, Dandy. It's all come to this.
Saucy Joe, what do you recommend?
I'm trying to think of a recommendation. Skip me, please.
And
I really don't have
who
anything.
Wants to go first over there on the couch?
I recommend spring, get outside, go do something, take a walk.
That's a rehash recommendation. I think that we have every spring somebody that goes to that one.
Do your yard work.
It's reheated.
Yeah, yard work, mulch, yeah. I thought you liked to wait to mulch until after the helicopters fall off the trees. That was discussed last year.
Probably. I do. But just do something. Get outside.
Pick up dog poo.
Yep.
Forget the dog poo, just mow it.
You know what I do? I'm going to recommend this. You know, suckers walking around, walking your dog with a bag in your hand. That's a joke. You know what I do? Let my dog poop in people's yard.
Dang.
And then you know what I do? Take my foot, and I flick it into the road with the side of my foot in one swift motion.
That's what you recommend.
I recommend.
See, here's the problem with that is my dog poops are like this big.
All the more ease you'll have in flicking it into the road with your foot.
No, because it gets like on your shoe if you do that.
Doesn't get on my shoe.
My dog's poop isn't hard.
Neither is my dog's. It's all I've perfected the motion. I'll hold a clinic if you want. I'll show you guys how to do it.
Make a video.
You don't really do that.
I absolutely do.
Every single time.
Well, if I don't leave it in their yard, yeah. Sometimes I'll just leave it in the yard. But most of the time, I fuck it in the
yard. I hate people like you.
I've taken a stick and stabbed it and moved it over to like a sewer drain.
No, my dog's poop must be too soft.
No, my dog's poop is pretty
soft. I usually bag it and, you know. But I'm not going to lie. If I see someone left a garbage can out the street.
Yeah, you toss it in there.
Yeah, I do that too.
Well, why wouldn't you? It's a garbage can. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
There are people that would say.
But some people say you're not supposed to do that. Yeah, which is BS. No, I mean, come on.
It's kind of an asshole move.
Why?
You're putting shit in.
You're putting shit in someone's garbage can.
If it's out there it's ready to go, though.
Yeah, but some people.
Well,
might
sometimes
like
it's already been picked up.
If it's in
and
a
some
bag,
some people clearly hose their fucking garbage can.
Yeah,
out.
Some people take good
with
care
good
of
reason.
It.
They should.
There's poop in it.
Yeah,
it's just dog fucking poop.
It's gonna be in there for a week if the trash was just picked up.
Right. That's that's the defining fact.
It's not gonna get any worse.
I'll fucking throw it in an empty one. I don't
people have a misconception about dog shit. And that's that it's going to get worse with age. It's going to get better. Dog shit gets better with age.
No, I throw mine in the trash can, and after a week, it has got
awful. Well, it's enclosed in a trash can. I'm just saying, if you leave poo to its own device
outside,
it gets better
with age. It'll eventually harden. But if you put it out to the road and the truck is coming, it's out of there.
Elements.
If you leave it in there, it might be 2 or 3 days in the hot summer sun.
Half-life.
See, I was walking my dog once. It scarred me for life.
Oh boy.
And forgot a bag. My dog's just, I'm trying to like pull her. But she has to shit. She won't.
That's happened to me too.
Shitting in someone's yard, the person
just
pulls
right there.
In.
Yeah.
Pulls
bad.
In, I know them.
Yeah.
So I went to the front door and asked him for a bag.
Well, that was the right thing to do. Hey, I don't like it when other dogs shit in my yard. And the main reason for it is not only that there's shit there, but that my dog is upset by it. That's his yard.
Oh, my dog will eat it. My dog ate coyote poop.
I just think that if you live in a village town, you're signing yourself up for the dog Russian roulette of dog shit. Yard.
Yeah, but the way I see it is, I clean my dog's shit out of my own yard. I shouldn't have to clean your dog's shit out of my yard.
Yeah, well, you know, I stepped in a rogue poop maybe 2-3 weeks ago
somewhere
and it was
near.
It was in the DMZ. It was out of the fucking zone. You know what I mean? There's the zone where you must be cautious. You know what I mean? I'm on that, you know, not as much in the winter, but every week, at least every time I mow, I go up and I fucking shovel the shit, throw it in the canal.
Perfect.
I let my dog go in a part of the yard where nobody usually walks, and that's especially in the winter. I mean,
it's a minefield.
So that grass is like so lush and
I don't clean
up
my
heavy.
Dog shit.
I only do.
I got a big yard, and then I mow it.
Yeah.
We also let my dog out in the backyard, and that's an area where a lot of people run through. So if people are coming over, I will go through and make sure I pick everything up. But other than that, I like to mow. But mowing doesn't get rid of it all the time. Sometimes you go right over it because it's settled in and adhered to the soil.
Mm,
sometimes you just broadcast big
chunks
of it.
But my dog's like such a big dog. It's a big poop. So you're getting most of that.
Fucking rogue poops.
Yeah.
Road poops are the worst.
That's what you're signing up for, man.
So no one poops my air, though. I love it.
Did you recommend anything yet, Mia's Stew?
Cincinnati chili.
Oh, the spaghetti, huh?
Seriously, I made it the other day. It's really fucking good.
I'm down with that. What I've done is I make chili, and then the next day you got leftover chili. Make some pasta. All of a sudden, you got a whole
new
meal.
There? Is that what that is?
You put the chili on top of the pasta.
Yeah.
Spaghetti.
It's like making chili, but you don't put beans in the chili.
I don't know.
Well, you still can, but
yeah,
it's
but
true Cincinnati style.
Well, true chili doesn't supposed to have any beans in
right.
it.
Right.
Thank you.
So... And you make it a little, like, it doesn't have tomatoes in it, which I think I would add the next time I did it.
Hmm.
No, it's just like the chili, the chilies
and meat.
And then the sauce and water.
And water, yeah. And spices, or beef broth, actually.
Yeah. But whatever way you make
your
chili.
Everything goes in the pot and you just cook it down for hours.
But then the next day you make yourself some spaghetti and you put chili on top of it and then you put cheese on top of that if you want.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yes. It is really good. It's good.
I like doing that around Super Bowl time. We left a lot of leftover chili come Super Bowl usually.
Do you ever eat chili dogs?
I like a chili dog.
I eat them at restaurants. I never make them myself.
They're messy.
Yeah.
I had a chili dog today.
You
got to
have it with
actually.
Like a
Red's
fork
place.
And knife.
Oh, okay. I'm not a chili dog.
And you got to use one of those New England buns.
The ones that's like cut in
it's
half?
It's bread like, yeah.
It's like, it looks like a loaf.
Yeah.
With cheese.
Yeah. Onions. Too.
Chili
I really
cheese
like my
dog.
Hot dogs
if you're down. If you're nasty.
Sauerkraut.
I like dogs and kraut, and then only mustard.
Yeah,
right.
Hell yeah.
Yes, that's a great
that's
dog.
Good.
That's gross.
Ketchup on hot dogs, I think, is a fucking.
weird. Don't even get Sacrilege. Kenny Haas started on that.
I can do ketchup and mustard, but I got to spin it. It's got to be all mixed in.
It's got to be predominantly mustard.
Have you gotten a hot dog from the country club yet?
No.
They're ginormous.
They're big dogs. Big dongers.
They're awesome.
A lot of positive Huge. Feedback on the
when
hot dogs.
When did you get a hot dog?
I don't know.
Grill's been open a few days. Well, before we wrap this up, mention my daughter's first communion. Had a crazy disruption in my sleep patterns. And Saturday, got invited to Mysterious Taco Girl's sister's house for a nice Saturday night. Kids went over, played. Can't turn that down. Everybody's happy. It's a great night. But I had this party for 20-so people the next day. Media Stew was there. And I had to make 2 lasagnas, greens and beans, the whole works. So we got home. It ended up being a later night. Got home about midnight. So I start cooking till about 4 a.m.
Oy.
And then I go to bed and wake up and do the whole thing. And the party went well. Then I get home. Everybody leaves the party about 6 o'clock. I fall asleep. I went up in bed, laid down, fell asleep. Woke up about 9. And then went downstairs. My wife was just going to bed. That's what woke me up, was she was going to bed. And I was up till 3 last night. And now I'm all left up. I'm like wide awake now. And it might be the 3 extra large coffees that I drank today from Dunkin' Donuts. But I'm ready to go. And then, interestingly enough, I come across an article that talks about sleep deprivation, a new study, and how bad it is for you. But, of course, there's always one of them floating out there. So yeah. I guess it's no coincidence. So any parting shots before we get out of here? Dandy?
It's been fun.
Fairly well.
Off you go.
And new things.
Be safe out there.
He's going to cry.
Yeah.
We had a good run.
Oh, you had a good run.
I thought
it's been like 3 years.
Yeah.
It has been 146 episodes, and there's 52 weeks in a year, and we take a few off. It's about the 3-year anniversary right now. It was this time of year.
It was like May, early May. Whatever day that the first one was the day after they got Osama bin Laden. They killed Osama.
Really?
Because I remember that's what we talked about.
Those are the hard-hitting topics that we used to discuss.
I wonder if I still have the pilot. Your foot.
I think that should be the first one we play.
That's on my laptop still.
The thing is,
I didn't have the practice one.
Everything about the initial, the early ones was bad. The sound quality was bad. It was the talking, the conversation points, I don't think were as good. The pilot episode, though.
It's a hidden gem. It's a lost gem.
If I can find that, I'll play it during one of the off weeks. But we talked about the Amish.
We did, oh yeah.
Shitting in buckets.
Something about vampires as well.
And we ended up being debunked by Hunting Dog.
That was awful.
Remember that Hunting Dog episode I was on?
That was a classic. We'd probably play that one back, I think.
He's like, your son loves you.
Listen, you guys, email us at info@thesaucepod.com with your favorite episodes, and we'll play. Those will be the ones we'll choose if you can remember some of the your favorites. From the past 3 years. So we're off next week, which is May something or other.
May 6th.
Is it 6th? And then we'd be back May 13th live. Then off May 20th, and then back May 27th live. Then off June. You get the idea. We're going bi-weekly. Dandy, Aaron D. I would say that this show has made us friends. I don't think I was really good friends with Dandy. I don't even think we were barely acquaintances before the Sauce Pod.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what more can you ask for?
Feeling a little melancholy right now, but hey, I still think that this isn't the last you'll see of Dandy or Indy. But it is the last you're going to see of the Sauce Pod episode 146. Thanks for joining us for Saucy Joe. Mysterious Taco Girl, Dandy Aaron D, Media Stew. I'm Tony Sometimes. Good night now.
Support great local content like this by becoming a patron of FingerLakes1.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1.